WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday to you. Hope your day is starting off well, if not a little chilly. And we've got a lot that we can discuss this morning. And of course, we'll take your phone calls, 508-996-0500. We'll take your app chat messages and your open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We have our contest up on the website and on the app. If you want to enter to win tickets to see Sarah Silverman at the Vets. Happening next week. It's happening on next Thursday, which is what, the 23rd? And if you want to enter to win, it's simple. You just put in a few bits of information, and then that puts you into the drawing. And when we select names, and we've got multiple pairs to give away. If you're a winner, Casey will reach out to you. We'll send you the tickets. They're actually going to come via email. These aren't even the digital tickets we've been using before, where you have to log in your Ticketmaster app. These are just digital tickets we'll send to you in your email, and you'll go and enjoy the show. I thought I wanted to go to the show, but it's a bowling night, so I didn't get tickets. But who knows? Maybe I'll change my mind. I don't know, I've been on a pretty good run bowling, so I don't want to do anything to throw myself off right now. Almost broke 200 twice last week. So hopefully this is the week that it happens. We'll see what happens tomorrow night. No, Thursday night. So we were saying yesterday, we had concerns following the homicide that happened at the Morna Lounge and Grill on early Saturday morning. There was an arrest that happened yesterday. It happened, the news broke during this show, but I put the story up as soon as I got off the air. And then came in and talked about it with Chris, a 19-year-old from New Bedford, who had already been arrested in the past for gun issues. And you can read SouthCoastToday.com. Frank Mulligan has a deeper story that talks about the suspect's criminal past, and those charges were dismissed. The charges of related to the shooting that happened outside the convenience store on the South End last year, those were dismissed. But now the new charges, he's been ordered held without bail. Danielson Varela is his name. And Arthur Hirsch at NewBedfordLight.org has a story that gets a little bit deeper into some of the reasons police have been called to Morna Lounge in recent years. He went through the licensing board minutes and found all the incidents that they've had, not just the really big news items that we've covered here, but some other things as well. So I'd recommend giving that a read. But we were talking yesterday, myself and Chris, about how Mayor Mitchell had called for the licensing board to review the situation. And we were wondering, can you even have a licensing board meeting? Do you have enough members? A three-member board that only has one member right now. I did reach out to city spokesperson Jonathan Darling to find out the status of Nick Nanopoulos' time on the licensing board. If that 60-day tenure was still in effect or had been extended or what have you. And he said he was going to look into that and get back to me. But we were concerned about, you know, is our operations going to continue without the opportunity for a hearing because the licensing board doesn't have enough members? And how long will it be before the city council can get to the point where they could put another member on there or approve another member on there? Well, it turns out there was a moot point because Police Chief Paul Oliveira shut down Morna Lounge yesterday under his authority granted to him by the Massachusetts General Laws. MGL Chapter 41, Section 98, which allows him as police chief, and you can read about this at WBSM.com and on the app, to order Morna Lounge and grill owner Mateus Jose Barboza to cease operations and immediately close the business on an emergency basis in the interest of public safety. And the closure will be until further notice. My guess, and I haven't asked Chief Oliveira about this, but my guess is I don't think he's in a hurry to see it reopen before there can be a licensing board hearing. But that could be many, 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 many months away. And the question remains, the question keeps coming up on social media and in conversations here on the radio. How much can you hold the business responsible for the actions of its patrons? And according to the law, very responsible. And if somebody walked into, I'll just say Frontera Grill, because that's across the street from me here. If somebody walked, or even the 99 right here, if somebody walked in and shot and killed someone, nobody would blame the 99 for it. Nobody would blame Frontera for it. Nobody would blame any other restaurant or bar that didn't have a reputation for violent encounters happening and for skirting the laws. This was a 19-year-old person that was in a bar at 1 o'clock in the morning. Now, it's entirely possible that he just barged in and shot someone. But what if he didn't? What if he had been there? So there's adequate concern on the part of the police chief about this ongoing series. And they mentioned that in the press release that the police put out, in which they announced this. They said there have been numerous calls for service to Morna Lounge, including something that I guess we didn't have reporting on, because I couldn't find a story on it, that there was a shooting outside the bar in July of last year, about a week before a person was killed outside of the bar. But then police also said that prior to that, Morna Lounge representatives appeared before the city's licensing board five times from 2021 to 2023 regarding numerous violations occurring on 13 separate nights, including, of course, that 2022 stabbing that resulted in multiple probations and suspensions. Police said the string of events, quote, raised significant concern about the ability of the Morna Lounge's management and staff to maintain a safe and secure environment for patrons and neighbors. So under the authority that he has in the Massachusetts General Law, which, you know, of course, is legalese and convoluted language, but it says, you know, he has the power to suppress and prevent all disturbances and disorder. And he has the ability to close down that business if he deems that there's a threat to the public. We also got a statement. I know, you know, Chris had said Ward 2 Councilor Maria Giesta had been silent. To be fair, when I put the story out on Saturday, I didn't reach out to her asking for a comment. Now, of course, she can post her own comments to her own social media or put out a statement via the city council office, as she did when she was upset about being accused of helping undocumented immigrants stay in the country. And I didn't reach out to her because I was not, quote unquote, working. I was just trying to get this story out as quick as I could with the information that we were provided. And then when Mayor Mitchell put a statement up on Facebook, I happened to see it. And so I added that into the story. But I didn't reach out to Counselor Giesta and ask her for a comment. But, you know, she also can post her own as well. But I reached out yesterday and said, you know, I'd like to get your thoughts on the closing of the Morna Lounge and what happened. And she sent me this statement, and I'll just read it to you in its entirety. It's not that long. I want to thank the New Bedford Police Department and all law enforcement agencies involved for their swift action in apprehending the suspect responsible for the recent shooting at Morna Lounge. Their collaborative efforts across city lines were instrumental in ensuring this arrest. I support Police Chief Paul Oliveira's decision to close Morna Lounge in light of the numerous incidents regarding police intervention. This action underscores our commitment to the safety and well-being of Ward 2 residents and the city of New Bedford. Thank you, and God bless all our law enforcement officials for their dedication to protecting our community. So she is in support of the closure of Morna Lounge. So we'll see how long that goes for. We'll see what happens when they can go before the licensing board. Are we looking at something that will permanently affect this business? Or will they have the opportunity to add even more safety protocols and procedures, which it I don't know that they were still following what they had agreed to previously. If someone was able to just walk in with a gun and shoot three people, killing one. A 19-year-old person at that. Was he not checked for ID, or did he just barge his way in? We also had a couple of other interesting incidents yesterday. You heard some talk on the radio about a fight that happened at New Bedford High School that turned out to be kind of a significant and large involved fight. I know Carlos had posted some video of it on Facebook. It kind of looked to me like what happens when there's a fight in a high school. But then last night at the Dartmouth-Durfee girls basketball game, there was a physical confrontation that happened early in the game that later resulted in what is being described as a melee. So much so that the officials stopped the game and awarded the victory to Dartmouth because they were well ahead at the time. But they actually stopped the game. The head coach for the Dartmouth Girls Indians team was actually injured. Slightly, not a serious injury, but injured in the fight, which happened with 2:13 remaining in the game. So I don't know what's going on, why people are prone to violence lately, but here we are. And then something else I thought we could talk about this morning. For those of you who are renters and who have been looking for a place in recent times, we talked about this the other day. I shared that post from somebody in Brockton who had an apartment for rent, and he wanted first, last security and broker's fee for a significant amount of money. It basically came out to $10,000 to be able to move into this apartment. And Governor Maura Healey has proposed a plan to shift the broker fees from the renters to the landlords and to say, well, if you want to utilize a broker and they're going to charge a fee, the person who hires the broker will absorb that fee, which is generally the landlord. Others are pushing back and saying that's not really going to help anything because now they're just going to raise the rent. And if whatever the broker fee is, they decide, okay, well, I'm gonna spread that out over 3 or 4 months' rent. But then that just becomes the new rental price. So it would have been, say, a $1,500. And I don't know how much the broker fees are, but what would have been a $1,500 a month rent now becomes $1,650 in order to pay back the broker, but then just stay $1,650. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes, and I'd be interested in getting your thoughts on that. 508-996-0500. Again, app chat, open line voicemails will be available to you on the WBSM app. If you aren't familiar with either of those methods of communicating with us, app chat is just like sending a text. And then open line voicemails is just like recording a voicemail, except I can play it back on the air. As long as you keep it, something I can put on the air. But you just open up your WBSM app, you hit the open line button, record what you want to say, and send it over. It's like calling in, except I can't talk over you or interrupt. Well, I can interrupt you. I can just pot it down, but you get to have all that time to just say what it is that you want to say. So check it out. Give it a try. See if that isn't a better option for you to be able to send your thoughts at a time that's more convenient for you instead of having to wait on hold. Which, if you call in right now, you will have to, at least for a few moments, because I've got to take a break. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. That song came out in 1982. Don Henley put that out on what, I Can't Stand Still, back in 1982. And it was kind of prescient then about where news would go. You know, he's just talking about your probably your local evening news and the salaciousness that was leaning toward. And then, you know, what happened in the 80s? You had the explosion of shows like Hard Copy, Inside Edition, There was another one that was a Current Affair with Maury Povich. Yeah. Yeah, like the explosion of those shows that were quote-unquote news that were more tabloid than anything. Now, years later, what do we have? TMZ and just the way news is handled in general. So, but now it's time to go to somebody who's not going to give us any dirty laundry, just the facts, our one and only Phil Devitt.
High winds making a tough situation worse in Los Angeles. Amazon ending a popular program. And who's performing at Trump's inauguration?
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Strong winds expected to return to Southern California, threatening to reignite wildfires that have already devastated the region. The National Weather Service has issued red flag warnings for severe fire danger, with high winds expected to persist through Wednesday. Firefighters are bracing for the potential for new blazes and are working to contain existing fires, including the Palisades Fire, which is currently about 14% contained. The IRS is distributing nearly $2.4 billion to taxpayers who missed out on COVID-19 stimulus payments. Approximately 1 million eligible individuals will receive automatic payments of up to $1,400 by the end of January. The payments are for those who filed a 2021 tax return but failed to claim the recovery rebate credit. Eligible taxpayers will receive letters from the IRS notifying them of the payment. No further action is is required from recipients. A company linked to Alex Jones has submitted a new offer of over $7 million to buy his InfoWars platform, significantly higher than its previous bid. This comes after a judge voided the prior sale to The Onion. The trustee overseeing Jones' bankruptcy will now evaluate the new offer and determine the next steps in the sales process. The sale of InfoWars is part of Jones' bankruptcy proceedings, stemming from defamation lawsuits filed by families of victims of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. Proceeds from the sale will go toward compensating families and other creditors. Amazon is discontinuing its Try Before You Buy program for Prime members effective January 31st. The service allowed customers to order up to 6 clothing items and try them on at home before making a purchase. Amazon cites the limited reach of the program and the growing use of AI-powered sizing recommendations as reasons for its decision. While Try Before You Buy is ending, Prime members will still enjoy free returns on all apparel purchases. A new study finds a higher lifetime risk of dementia than previously thought, with nearly half of people over 55 potentially developing the condition if they live long enough. The research, published in Nature Medicine, estimates that dementia will affect about 1 million Americans annually by 2060. While age is the biggest risk factor, the study emphasizes the importance of midlife health. Controlling high blood pressure, diabetes, and cholesterol, along with maintaining a healthy lifestyle, can significantly reduce the risk of developing dementia. The study also highlights the importance of social and cognitive engagement throughout life. The research underscores the need for continued efforts in brain health research and public health initiatives aimed at preventing and delaying the onset of dementia. Starbucks is reversing its open door policy, now requiring customers to make a purchase before using restrooms or lingering in cafes. The new code of conduct also prohibits disruptive behavior like drug use and panhandling. The shift comes after years of struggling with unruly behavior in some stores, despite a 2018 policy change aimed at welcoming all customers. And country music star Carrie Underwood will perform America the Beautiful at Donald Trump's inauguration next week, and the 1970s hitmakers Village People will perform at 2 inaugural events. Underwood, who launched her career on American Idol, is to perform shortly before Trump takes the oath of office at the U.S. Capitol on January 20th.
WBSM Sports.
The Boston Bruins home to play the Tampa Bay Lightning game tonight at 7, and the Boston Celtics in Toronto to play the Raptors on Wednesday.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Partly cloudy today on the South Coast, becoming windy with a high of 32 degrees. On Wednesday, sunny and breezy again, a high of 29 degrees. On Thursday, mostly sunny and a high of 30. Warming up as we get toward the weekend, sunny and a high of 37 on Friday. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Favorite John Mellencamp song. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You are on WBSM.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing okay.
Yeah, I like Don Henley, by the way. That was great music right there.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Oh, I like him from the first time he showed up on the scene. The piano and all that. about this club. I need for you to tell me because I don't know. Is it a restaurant, a bar room, a club? What you're allowed to drink in there? Is that it?
Yeah. Well, so it's both. It is a restaurant, and they have some pretty good food. I've had some of the food from there before, but also kind of after hours on the weekends at night. It's a bit of a, you know, kind of like a dance club. They had DJs there and music that'd be playing, okay, and drinks and all that.
So it's not mainly just a regular bar room where you go to and you know what you're doing. Drinking,
right.
And that's, you know, okay. So now I know that you're allowed to drink it there. So do they have metal detectors there for knives and guns before you come in?
I don't know. Probably not, okay, since people have gotten in with knives and guns.
Okay, good. I would like to know that. Now, concerning Maria Giesta. Now, mm-hmm, I listen to all the talk shows. I hear Chris all the time. You know, she's a sweep at the switch. She says that a lot and blah, blah, blah. Now, to be fair to the lady, I don't know much about her, you know, but it's next to impossible in my mind to stop any lunatic from coming in and killing anybody. So aside from the scanners for guns and knives, and couldn't they, I mean, I don't know if there's a law or if you can even do it, but you have a bouncer most of the time in a club. Can't somebody be at the door who can make a judgment call that says this person that wants to enter here is already fully inebriated and they're not allowed in? And then whatever's going to happen is going to happen outside, and which is bad too, but at least they won't come in. Can somebody make that call at the door and say this person is dead drunk, they're not coming in for any more booze?
Well, that I'm sure they do, but I think they also should be saying, hey, this 19-year-old kid is not coming into this bar at 1 o'clock in the morning.
19 years old.
But that's also why I'm questioning if whether or not this person didn't just kind of, you know, rush their way in. And because there's a lot of people that congregate outside that area because the other bars in the area are closing down, and there's a lot of people out on the street at that time. And, you know, you get a group of people, it might be hard for one person. It might not be that hard for one person to distract the bouncer while the other person sneaks in behind them. I mean, there's lots of ways that they could have had something in place to try to prevent that, but that they got around it.
And before my time runs out, I want to know, what do people expect Maria Giesta to do aside from going over to places like that and sitting in a car and watching it? What do you want the lady to do?
I mean, the bottom line here is,
what does Chris mean when Chris says she's asleep at the switch and we better not vote her in? She's going to have a pension, blah, 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 blah.
Well, he just feels that she doesn't do enough, that she's focused on her pet projects but not answering the call for other issues. But what are you going to do when there's, you know, notable and well-known gang issues in your ward? And there's rumors out there that that's what this was. This was something gang-related. So if that's, and that's not official, I'm just saying, you know, what the scuttlebutt is. If that's the case, then, you know, that's something that's really hard for a ward counselor to be able to combat.
Well, I mean, I got to give it to that lady even for being there. They're saying a lot of things about it. Like I said, I don't know a lot of things about it, only what I hear on the radio. I'm getting all my information from WBSM. Now, I don't know. Maybe she's not doing her job well in other areas. I don't know that. But as far as the club and the gun business, what do you want the lady to do? That's all.
All right.
Have a great day.
You as well.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And let's take another call here, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, Tim. How are you?
Doing well. How about you?
Good, thanks. There's a couple of things I want to talk about. And Mary's absolutely right. I mean, you know, I've lived in Ward 2 area all my life. And, you know, I've gone through quite a few ward counselors in this area. And, you know, we've had some good ones and bad ones. And I have to tell you, it really aggravates me when I'm listening to things on the radio about Maria Giesta, because my experience I believe it's already her third time that she's won and been elected in this area, this ward. You know, you call her or you text her and she will get back to you. Maybe not right away, but within 24 hours, she will. You know, if you have a neighborhood problem, if you see something going on, I mean, she'll get back to you. She'll call her resources that she needs to inform, and actually things get done. Now, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, in my lifetime, we've gone through, and I'm sure you know this, where in the West End, there were big-time gang problems. And I believe that was like back in the 1980s in the whole project area that's down the street on Kenton Street. There were shootings, there were killings there, and, you know, they blamed that ward counselor. Then not that long ago, we're talking about the South End and everything that's been going on down there on County Street. And that, you know, that ward counselor, you know, who I don't know much about, but again, like I hear like Mary on the radio, you know, he's this, he's that, he's not doing anything. And now, you know, the Ward 2 area. So it kind of like looks like things shift around the city. But like Mary said, it's true. I mean, what can she do? You're looking at the neighborhoods and what they're made of. Now, she can't, you know, be watching or telling landlords who they can and cannot rent to. So you basically get in the neighborhood the tenants and the problems that most of these slumlords that are just want rent will put in the neighborhood, and that's what happens. Now, you know, Steve Martins was a good ward counselor, but he was good in the beginning. Once he decided he wanted to get a job, you know, working for the lottery, the state lottery, his last term, he did nothing. I mean, you know, Cazera was the same thing. Cazera was there for a long time. He never really did anything for Ward 2, to be honest with you. So, you know, when I hear this thing about, you know, that, you know, she's at the bar and she's drinking, which to me, I really think that that's going pretty low. And I really think that that's very inappropriate to be saying something like that on the radio. You know, let's stick to what you think she can do or can't do. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about was the licensing board. You know, like a lot of these places, which I'm sure you know, too, that I've noticed, whenever, like, say this one now that they shut down, I don't know who the person is that owns that. But who's to say, because a lot of this happens, who's to say that 6 months, a year from now, since now he can't open that maybe anymore, that he doesn't open something else on Acushnet Avenue under a different name. Now, he's got to go in front of the licensing board. I would hope that they would remember who this person was that originally owned this other place that they had shut down.
Oh, sure.
And not,
yeah.
give that person a license, because most likely the same thing's going to happen. It's the same owner, different name, and now you got the same issue. And I guess the other thing I just wanted to mention was what happened yesterday, the video that went around at New Bedford High School. You know, I'm laughing, but it's not even funny because, you know, I thought about in my day, first of all, in my day, kids or girls or whatever would not be fighting inside of school. The fights would happen outside and away from the school grounds, because if that was inside, the teachers would have no problem grabbing you by the back of the neck or by your clothes or doing whatever. And now, you know, you watch all these videos and these poor teachers, like, they just can't do anything. I mean, really, sometimes they get caught in the middle. They even get hit and punched, and they can't do a damn thing about it. And it's a sad situation where we've gotten in this society where these kids can run rampant, and it's actually the adults' fault that they let this get to this point, because it's all, you know, you can't touch my Johnny. You can't suspend them, you know, so the adults are to blame for that. But, you know, that's a pretty sad situation where teachers now, you know, have no control about what's going on inside of, you know, these schools. And yeah, I don't know. You know, you did mention earlier about the anger, that you don't understand why people are so mad. Yeah, people, I don't know what it is, Tim. People, since the whole COVID thing, I don't know if it's because people have been isolated, cooped up, and, you know, or if it's what's going on, you know, with the economy and life in general, people, it's not just kids, it's adults. It's like, you know, nobody's, I don't know, people don't seem like they're happy. You know, everybody like jumps, you know, gets mad over any little thing.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I just hope that, you know, I don't know, things get better.
Well, I think the problem is we especially through social media and public discourse, we've justified everybody's feelings. We've told people that they have the right to feel however they want to feel, and that, you know, don't let anybody stand in the way of that. And I think that that's been a problem, because sometimes people feel things that, you know, aren't really good, and you got to be able to say to them, like, hey, snap out of it, you know?
Right.
Hey, shake
out
of it.
And, but, you know, but, Tim, too, it's not just that. It's, you know, I get it. Listen, I'm not insensitive to it, and I get it. There's a lot of psychological issue, mental issues going on in our society. But I think that is an excuse that's used way over more than it should be. And it takes away from that real issue, because what happens is people like just start to like not believe it when something bad happens, because it seems like people will make that excuse to cover their bad actions, and they don't take the responsibility and consequences for that. And so what happens is when someone really does have a psychological or mental issue that's caused, like, say, you know, some bad thing to happen, you know, people just, like me, for example, I just think, you know, they're using that excuse so they can get away with it. And again, that's another thing that's kind of been blown out of proportion, you know, of what's going on. But anyway, I just, you know, called in to give my insight on that. You have a good day.
Thank
okay?
you. You as well. And going back to the point of when teachers got involved, caller, hang on, we'll get to you in just a second. I just got to take a quick break. I remember, you know, going to Wareham Middle School when I was a kid in the early 90s. Two kids would fight. Oh, did you see who fought? Oh, Joey and Johnny fought. Oh, who won? Mr. Oliver. Oh, Bobby and Bradford, who won? Mr. Oliver. Like, he won every fight. But I will say that the most knockdown, drag-out school fight that I ever saw was two girls that fought. And I mean fought. Fists, swings, big swings, haymakers, everything. And it started at one end of Wareham Middle School and went all the way to the other, down the hallway. I mean, this was like something out of a movie. And in reality, they're two of the sweetest girls you'd ever know in your life. And now I know them both. I'm friends with both of them as adult women. And they're just the awesome, nicest people. And they get along really well now. So anyway, we got to take a break here. Caller, hang on. We'll get to you as soon as we come back. All right, let's go back to the phones. 508-996-0500. You are next on WBSM.
Hey, Chris. I'm sorry. Jim, I'm sorry.
No, no problem.
Early in the morning.
Oh, yeah. No, I feel you. I don't even know who I am this early.
No problem. You know, this guy that went into that bar, the 19-year-old with the shot, killed that man.
Mm-hmm.
And he was let go by the judge. And he was involved in a shooting in front of a store. A 19-year-old kid. I mean, he's going to get a gun. It's organized crime.
Well, according to...
There's no doubt about it.
According to the Standard Times reporting, or maybe it was Arthur Hirsch. I forget which one I read it in, but I think it was the Standard Times. That case was dismissed. The shooting in the South End. He was apparently the driver of the vehicle that was involved, and the charges against him were dismissed.
So, I mean, obviously he's involved in some kind of a game. And according to Commonwealth Beacon, there's 10,000 illegal aliens in our city, in New Bedford, whatever you want to call it, undocumented, whatever. And a lot of them in Maria's district, a lot of them at Cushionette Avenue. But how do we know if there's no gangs of foreign criminals shooting up different places and crimes? So Maria Giesta, you can't just wash her hands clean. I mean, she has to keep an eye on what's going on over there, not let crime go out of control. A 19-year-old kid, Tim.
Yeah,
you
I mean...
No one's being... Go ahead, Tim. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, if you look at the pattern of, you know, who's been arrested, you know, the guns that have been seized, there's a proliferation of people who are under the age of 21 who are found with handguns in New Bedford.
Yeah, and it's the black market. It's gang-related. And we need to know, is this guy here, is he here legally or not? And no poo-poo, the police chief don't check. He just fingerprints the guy and he goes over to the sheriff and he doesn't check the database. I mean, we need to know. This is the whole thing. Right,
I'm pretty sure that he's an American citizen. I mean,
you know that for a fact, Barella?
No, but do you,
last name.
Do you know that he isn't?
You're
making the assumption that he's an illegal immigrant.
You're making the assumption that he's an American citizen.
Well,
we need to know. Police Chief Oliveira, tell us, is this guy here legally or not?
He's been through the court system already. If there was an issue, he would have been detained.
They don't check. They don't check.
He went to court. He's had hearings for previous crimes. He's had multiple arrests.
Yeah, but they don't check the database unless ICE has some kind of a detainer.
And if ICE had a detainer, you don't think that the court system would have flagged that?
Right, but there's many criminals here that are not on the ICE radar.
But they haven't gone. They haven't gone to court multiple times already, like this person has.
What I'm saying is,
if he was illegal, ICE would have known by now. He has been in the system. He has been in the justice system enough that ICE would have already come and grabbed him, I would think.
So, well, that's one thing. That's one of my concerns in the gang problem that's being suppressed. Because obviously young kids getting guns, they're not going to get licenses. There's a black market here in our city of guns, whether it's ghost guns, these kids getting guns. So there is a gang problem. And the mayor can deny it. The city council can deny it. But Maria Jess has got to get on top of it and work with the police to get down to the bottom of the gang problem. She can't wash her hands like Pontius Pilate.
All right. Thank you for the call. Have a good day. And I will say that Maria Giesta, as far as I've ever, you know, talked with her about different things, for different stories and whatnot, she has a great working relationship with the police department. I know that one of the things that she's been working on in relation to the police is the parking situation in Ward 2 and getting the police to come out and ticket the cars that shouldn't be parked and the ones that are parked in the way of fire hydrants and crossings and things like that. So I know she does have an active line of communication with the police department. I got to take a break here. Caller, if we can get you in before the end of the hour, we will. If not, hang on. We'll get you after the news, but I've got to take this one final break. Not enough songs about people just randomly flying anymore, but anyway, that's one of them. And she was, and that's the Talking Heads. We're going to take a break here for the news coming up. When we come back on the other side, we can take more of your phone calls, 508-996-0500, app chat messages, open line voicemails. Hopefully by the time we come back, the honey wagon will have been done with its business out here in the parking lot. I don't know if you can hear it, but it's a little distracting for me, and it's not just the sound. It's the wonderful odor that permeates the studio.